And then following Sundays up through Christmas, it'll be kind of Christmas-themed messages. And so encourage you to come and be a part of that, to celebrate asking the Lord to get you in the spirit, not just the Christmas spirit, but the spirit of reflecting upon the incarnation and what Christmas really means and how Jesus came so that we as sinners could have life. But this morning we're going to look at this issue of thankfulness, not grumbling. Thankfulness, not grumbling. Now, you saw just a few moments ago, I brought my family up here and you saw we have four kids. Raising four boys is a challenge. And I know some of you have raised more kids. Some of you have boys and girls. All I can do is tell you from our experience with boys. But it's a challenge. You should be at our house in the morning when breakfast comes around, right? Trying to get everybody together, trying to get everybody out the door. The ones who need to go out the door aren't getting ready. And the ones who can't go anywhere, they want to go. And there's this fighting and complaining and grumbling, right? Then in the afternoon, they come home. It's homework time. The ones who have homework don't want to do homework. The ones who don't have homework, they want to be at the table doing homework, right? Chaos, confusion, frustration. Not to mention, well, I won't go there with math, but not to mention. Anyway, then you have issues of eating, right? Any of you know this? We have four boys, and none of them ever eat the same meal. You make something, one of them's going to complain. I don't want this. I don't like this, right? Never, ever have we ever had all of our boys. Now, I know Nate can't talk, but you know, he can talk some. But never any of them look at Allison and say, "Mom, thank you for this meal. I am so glad you made it. We all are going to eat it together," right? That never happens. You know what I'm talking about? The only time our boys like everything the same is when we go to McDonald's, right? That's kind of the dynamic there. I've shared this before, but it just is a reminder to me. I've not been in diapers. Our family has been in diapers for over a decade, right? Yeah, wow. I never thought about that when I was getting married with Allison, but really, as we look back. And the ones who are not in diapers, you know their favorite game is, as soon as we get on the turnpike, I've got to go to the bathroom. Or when we're at SeaWorld or Disney World, I've got to go poo. And none of them go poo at the same time. This one goes poo. And then 10 minutes later while you're watching Shamu, this one's got to go to the bathroom. And they wait till the very last second, so it's like, what? Emergency! I got to go! And I'm like, I can't get off the turnpike. What do you want me to do? I don't know about you, but I grow frustrated, exasperated. I find my heart complaining, sometimes wishing or longing for the days when things will get better, easier, when some of this chaos and madness stops. And then, I guess it was this year, maybe it was last year, I forget exactly when this happened, a TV show that Allison and I used to watch had its season finale. Some of you know The Office, remember that show? Some of you did, some of you didn't watch it, it was on NBC, kind of like a comedy show. The theme of the show was this. There was a paper company in Pennsylvania, Scranton, and there was a group who was doing a documentary on this crazy paper company, right? And so they would do foolish things in the office, and then from time to time, you would see somebody alone talking into a camera, kind of like doing a documentary, explaining behind the scenes what's going on, the foolishness, right? So in the season finale, there was this moment when an individual got off to the side, and he said these words. Watch this video with me for a second.
The weird thing is, now I'm exactly where I want to be. I got my dream job at Cornell. And I'm still just thinking about my old pals. Only now they're the ones I made here. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. Someone should write a song about that.
Did you hear what he said? I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. Wow. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? I saw that, and it's a challenge to me to quit grumbling, quit complaining, and instead enjoy the gift of fatherhood with those four boys at the time that we have right now. Right now in my life, these are the good old days. And this this service knows this very well. In 30 years, these are the moments we're going to be looking back on and longing for. We're going to be longing for breakfast with the boys. All right? We're going to long to change diapers and sit at the table and try to do Common Core math and all the other stuff we do. We're going to miss these moments. Can you relate? We are in the good old days now. Wherever you're at in life, these are the good old days because they're the days that you're living now. I share that information about my family, kind of poking at them and poking at us, but it's kind of to set the tone as we think about Thanksgiving. I want us to take some time this morning to really investigate our hearts. And to ask if we really are a people that are thankful, not just at Thanksgiving time, but generally thankful. Or do we have a spirit of grumbling and complaining about our circumstances, about what we don't have, about how we feel like life is unfair? Don put that scripture up there in the video. 1 Thessalonians, do all things without grumbling or complaining. You know, this is God's will for you. And I'm praying this morning, I'm praying for me and for you, that the Lord would stir up in us a spirit of thankfulness. So to that end, let me invite you to look over at Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 through 18, but we're going to primarily focus on verse 14. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Philippians is right there between Ephesians and Colossians. Philippians chapter 2, begin verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow on the screen with us. It says, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That is such a glorious passage, but it's not a time for this morning. But just, you might even just go back and just meditate on that. Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad, and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Just keep your Bibles open and look again there at verse 14. It's an imperative. He's telling us what we're to do. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. So what I want to do is just try to answer four questions I think that should come to our mind as we try to live this passage out. So if you have some space in your bulletin, you can take some notes if you want. But look at question number one with me for a minute. What is grumbling? If he's saying do all things without grumbling or questioning, we need to figure out what grumbling is. We need to make sure we understand. Basically, grumbling is to complain. It's to express your discontent or your displeasure with a situation or with a person. It's to be unhappy or have a critical spirit. It's the kind of talk under your breath, right? I mean, like I don't understand why he always makes me do this. I don't understand why. Or rolling of your eyes, or however you manifest it in your life, right? But it's this general spirit of just being contentious. And notice in the passage again that it says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. So the easy focus is to think, well, let's say, for example, Allison. She's not here, but let's say she says something, does something, whatever, and you know, she makes something and I don't want it. Chili, dumplings, whatever, something she likes. Well, I can grumble, and you might think it's against her, but at the end of the day, all of our grumbling is really directed at God. Because every good and perfect gift we have comes from whom? God. And so when we're grumbling, when we're complaining, it might be directed at somebody else, but in many ways what we're doing is we're complaining at God. We're grumbling against God about our life, about our situations, about our conditions. And when it says don't grumble or question, again, I think the questioning part is where we begin to question God and say, God, I don't think you really care about me, do you? God, I don't really think you know what's best in my life. God, I don't think you're looking at me. God, I don't think you see me. God, do you even care about me, right? God, do you even know I exist? Because you start seeing everything that's going on around you, and you start to what? Grumble, complain, be contentious, be unsettled. What it's telling us there is to not grumble or question the way that God is moving and working in our life. Which leads then to the question of what does grumbling reveal about us? I mean, think about it. Somebody who's grumbling, complaining, murmuring, what does that show you? Well, like so many other things, it shows you the heart. It's a heart problem, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, isn't grumbling, complaining a heart issue? It's like so many other things. You remember in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And what you could do is you could change that word speaks and change it to complains or grumbles or murmurs, or question, out of my heart. You see, when I start griping and complaining, it really is just showing what's deep down inside of me and of you. And really what grumbling is, and as it regards to a heart, is it's a perspective problem, right? It's like that old adage, is the glass half empty or half full? A lot of people say, well, I'm a realist, it's half empty. What that really shows you is what? A heart that's not grateful. Let me give you an example with this image up here on the screen. This perspective problem. I know it's kind of small, but I wanted you to see it. It says, we can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses. How do you look at it? Right? I mean, that's what a grumbling heart is. It's instead of looking at the good of what God is doing, it looks at the thorns and it complains. I got pricked. It stinks. It hurts. Why are these things on here? Instead of saying, isn't it awesome that on this thorny twig, this beautiful flower develops? But it's not just a heart issue. It's also a pride and jealousy issue. Grumbling, complaining is pride. It's saying, I deserve better than what I've got right now. I'm deserving of something more, different, better than my circumstances. I can't believe that I'm stuck here. Why am I here? I'm looking around and I'm seeing so-and-so, they're not as smart as me and they've got something better. Or so-and-so doesn't work as hard as me and their house is nicer or their car is newer, right? I mean, I'm the one paying all my bills and I'm doing this and look at them, look at them. You see? It's a pride issue. It's a jealousy issue. Do you know the first problem in the church was an issue of pride and it shows itself in grumbling and complaining? You know what the first issue of the church was? Acts chapter 6. The first one that's recorded for us. It says, the Grecian widows grumbled and complained about the offering that the Jewish widows were receiving. There was this daily distribution of food, and the Gentile women who were getting food and distributions from the church grumbled and complained because they felt like the Jewish widows were getting more, getting it first, whatever the situation was. And the text says, and they grumbled against this. It was a pride issue, a heart issue. And if we're honest, that's our problem too. It's a heart issue. It's a pride issue. Which leads then to a third question from the text for us, or third reality, and it's, who are the biggest grumblers? I know we don't want to hear this, but they're usually looking right back in the mirror. Usually the people of God, James, you can go to the next slide, usually the people of God are the biggest grumblers. Anybody know anybody like that? Doesn't matter what you do. They don't have a dog in the fight. Get it, dog. They don't have a dog in the fight, but they're going to grumble and complain. And it's usually the people of God. The people who should be most thankful tend to have the worst attitudes. You know what I hear? I can't believe we don't have more chocolate donuts. You laugh. Why do we cut donuts in half? Right, Merville? Grumbling, complaining over foolishness stuff. Donuts. Instead of being thankful that we have anything, why don't we get Krispy Kreme? Right? Why are we doing donuts? Why don't we get muffins? I'm telling you. They're not delivering them. They're not picking them up. They're not cutting them. They're not setting them out. All they're doing is they come, they see, and they... And I'm not talking about any of you. Do you know what I mean? If we're honest, it's us. And it's consistent. You see it all throughout Scripture. In the New Testament, you know who were the biggest complainers against Jesus' ministry? The religious leaders. Listen to this text. Luke 15, verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Luke 19, 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. John 6, verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." And it's not just the Jewish people. Think about the disciples. They grumbled and murmured because the two brothers asked to sit on Jesus' right and left. They were prideful. They were mad. They didn't do it first. Oh, and what about that group of people in the Old Testament called the Jewish people in the wilderness? Grumbling, complaining over and over and over again. Let me just show you a couple of examples. Look, real fast. Exodus chapter 17. Remember where they've been. They've been under Pharaoh's heavy hand. They've been demanded to make the bricks out of mud and straw, to make the bricks, to make the quota of what they're supposed to do. They've had their children thrown into the Nile, right? They've had all kinds of bad things go on in their life. God graciously, miraculously takes them out from under Pharaoh's hand, takes them through the water, is fulfilling his promise of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm going to give you a land that is flowing with milk and honey, right? And God has been doing all of these things. And here we are, a few pages outside of being set free. Exodus chapter 17. And all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages. Now notice these words, according to the commandment of the Lord. All Moses is doing is following the Lord's lead. But where they camped, there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses. Give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test God? But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Instead of saying, God has done amazing things in our midst. I believe that God will provide water for us in this moment. They did what? They grumbled. It's easier to grumble. Another example, Numbers chapter 11. And these aren't all of them. I just want you to see it's a pattern in the people of God's life. This one is a little challenging for us, if we're honest, because our complaining is not idle or harmless. Numbers chapter 11, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And notice what it says. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. Do you think that your grumbling and your murmuring and your complaining go unnoticed by the good and gracious God that reigns above? So the Lord shows them. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. You want to complain? I'm going to burn off some of your property. Then we'll see if you have something to complain about. Ever been in that circumstance? Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. And they go on in Numbers 14, Numbers 20, Numbers 21, over and over and over again. They grumbled. The most amazing, God has taken him into the promised land, right? They all come back except Joshua and Caleb, and they give terrible reports, and it's, sorry, it's a new mic. Oh, that we die over there. Why didn't we die under Pharaoh? Why did you take us out here to die? Instead of seeing the land is good and gracious and a gift that God is going to give them, they grumbled and complained about it. Some of the biggest complainers are us. Instead of recognizing God's graciousness in us, towards us, for us, we gripe, murmur, complain, question. So then, for us then, what are some areas that we can be ensnared with grumbling? What are some areas in our life that if we're not on guard, that we'll find ourselves complaining to God about our circumstances? Well, one, we can find ourselves complaining about our conditions. They complained about how hard the work was. They complained about the desert. They complained about going into the promised land. They were going to actually have to like take the land. God just didn't give it to them. They were going to have to work. And they grumbled and they complained. And if we're honest, there's many of us that we grumble, we complain about our work, about our jobs, about our bosses, about our employees. Right? People that we work with, fellow employees. Instead of what? I'm thankful I have a job. Didn't you see in that video, that guy said, I'm thankful I have a job after not having one for 1 year. This is a hard time to get a job. There's a lot of people that can't find jobs. And we, the people of God, instead of waking up in the morning saying, Lord, thank you that I have a job that I can provide for my family, we do what? So instead of complaining about our employment, maybe we should thank the Lord that we have employment, that we can earn a living, that we live in a place where the quantity of work and the quality of work is much easier than most places around the world. Right? Honestly? You're going to go sit in a cubicle with air conditioning and you can look at Facebook all day long or whatever it is you can do at work, right? While people around the world, they're out there in the hot farms making a dollar a day. perspective, right? Be thankful for our conditions. A second area we get ensnared is when we think about the Lord's provisions for us. They complain, we don't have water. Lord, we don't have bread. So the Lord gives them bread. Then they did what? All we have is bread. I'm tired of bread. So he gives them quail. All we ever get to do is eat quail. Complain. And for us, we too can find ourselves complaining about God's provisions for us. We can complain about our houses, about our cars, about the material things that we feel like we don't have, right? How many of you had a child at Christmas after you've gone out and you've got you or Santa or whoever it is that does the stuff at your house, gets gifts, and they open up gifts. Had to watch my audience, right? You get gifts and stuff, and the kid does what? What's the matter? I didn't get that new Wii game, or I didn't get, you know, they gripe and complain. I didn't get a new iPad. Well, you're only five, right? Grumbling and complaining about what they didn't get instead of looking all around, realizing there's so many children around the world don't have hardly any of that stuff. You know what? We so often act like little children towards God. Instead of reflecting on what we have, what He's provided us with, we gripe. My house is not as big. My car is not as big. Whatever the issue is. Again, it's that comparison issue, comparing ourselves against everybody else instead of being thankful. Instead of complaining about, well, I don't get to go eat at Ruth Chris. I've got to go eat at, like, I don't know, Macaroni Grill or something, whatever the place is. Why don't we stop and think? Or, I've got to make Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody's coming to my house. Why don't we think this? You know what? This year, there are children and there are adults who will dig through trash dumpsters. There are some people in our own community who won't have anything to eat. Kind of puts a different perspective on being thankful, doesn't it? We can get ensnared regarding leadership. They complained about Moses. They complained about God. They complained about every person whom the Lord had leading them. And if we're honest, so do we. We complain about our president. We complain about our Congress. We complain about our governors. We complain about everybody. And all the while, the Bible says what? Pray for them. And I don't say that lightly, but look, I know there's a lot of Republicans in here who don't like President Obama, and I know there's the Democrats in here who think he's really good, right? I don't care, and I know you can think that's naive, but I know God is bigger than, I mean, he raises up kings and he takes kings down, right? I mean, for me, biblically, yeah, there's people that you need to support because of biblical issues, but at the end of the day, whomever the Lord has over you, pray for them. Pray for them. Does it do them any good to gripe about them and complain about them, or are they better off being prayed for? Oh, and it's not just out there at the government, but what about in your own homes? What about your home leadership? Sometimes wives complain about their husbands, or husbands are complaining about their wives. What good does it do you to complain about that? Does it lift your spouse up? Instead, why don't you love your spouse? Why don't you serve your spouse? Why don't you speak well of your spouse? Why don't you bless your spouse the way Christ has blessed you, encouraging them? It's just as easy with words to bless as it is to complain, if we're not guarded, though, with our hearts. Some of you complain about this church, complain about me, complain about staff, complain about other members, complain about your Sunday school teachers, complain, 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 instead of praying for me, praying for our staff, praying for the leaders, praying for your deacons, praying for your Sunday school teachers, right? I mean, do you know the Bible says those who teach will have to give an account? Do you not think it is, you don't think that goes through my mind every time I stand up here before you, that what I'm teaching you and what you choose to do with that and how you act in some ways is I'm responsible for? Y'all, it's not the speaking part that's nervous up here, it's the accountability part. Pray for them. Pray for me. Pray for Don, your Sunday school. Pray for Vicky, your Sunday school teacher. Pray for, you know, instead of complaining about them, pray for them. Pray for those whom the Lord has placed in those positions. Another area we can complain about God's plan for our lives. I mean, Israel complained about the promised land, God's good and perfect gift to them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, yeah, it does, but there's big people there. And that's what we do. We complain when God doesn't do what we want when we want it. Instead of having that attitude that, God, you're not doing in my life what I think you should be doing, you're not directing me and opening doors the way I think you should direct and open doors. Instead of that, can we honestly say, look, the Lord is in control, and the Lord is at work for good for those who love him. I mean, can we really say that? Look at this quote as a good reminder to us. Do all things without grumbling. Why? You have a sovereign God who is on your side, who works everything together for your good. Do we really believe that? Because if we do, it will stifle some of our complaining and grumbling and murmuring against God. You know what? Yeah, maybe I'm not where I thought I would be at the age I am and the situation and whatever the situations are in your life, but I know what? I'm right where God wants me. Right? Whoever you are, wherever you are at. So let me give you some takeaways and we're done. An application, something to take home, something to think about is this, a heart exam. Am I a grumbler? I mean, I started off this morning kind of laughing about my boys and about that video, but it really is an issue that we need to deal with. Am I a grumbler? Am I a complainer? Or am I thankful? And only you can answer that, really, at the heart of hearts. But maybe it's helpful to ask your spouse. Baby, honestly, I'm not going to be mad at you, but just tell me, am I a complainer? And then if they say, well, you are, don't get mad, be glad. And work on it, seriously, seriously. Because it's better to know and be able to deal with things than to be oblivious to it. Two, quit complaining about what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do. Quit complaining and start thanking. I want to challenge you with this. Starting right now, can you go 24 hours without complaining? Not even once. Look, y'all, I'm taking that up. I mean, I've got 250 people that are holding me accountable in some ways. I leave tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in a vehicle to drive 13 hours to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with those four that you saw up here. It's going to be a challenge, but I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. That's my hope. And what about you? Can you do that tomorrow? From today to tomorrow? And then maybe, what about 48 hours? Or 72 hours? Or, oh my goodness, thankful all day on Thanksgiving, right? And last, quit comparing what you have with what others have. Quit complaining how the Lord's working in their life with how he's working in your life. Remember, that's what with Peter and John, that's what he kind of deals with. You know, what's it to you what I do to him? I'm doing what I want to do in your life for my glory and for your good. Be thankful for how the Lord is working in your life. Be thankful for how he's molding and shaping and making you as an individual. You are a unique fingerprint of God. You are a unique story of God. And no two stories are the same. He's the potter, we're the clay, and he's making a beautiful piece of our life. One last little picture for you to think about. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Because in some of your minds, you'll think, well, if I could just have these things, I would be thankful. It's the other way around. When you start having an attitude of thankfulness, you'll have a spirit of contentment, of peace, of joy. You'll find not a fake happiness, but a real inward, settled peace. Thankful people are happy people. I want to be that. Listen, none of us in this room, if you're a believer here today, none of us should grumble or complain. Why? Because most of all, God has given Christ as the payment for our sins. And as Romans 8 says in verse 32, if he didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how much more will he give us in Christ? God is at work for good in your life. And as the people of God, let us not be like Israel of old. Let us not be like the Pharisees of the New Testament, but let us be like the woman who threw herself down and wept at Jesus' feet. Let us be the person who says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, this week is a time when our nation focuses on Thanksgiving and family. And Lord, what a good thing. But Lord, really, you've commanded us as believers to be thankful in every circumstance, to do all things without grumbling and complaining and questioning. And so Lord, this morning we want to confess our sins to you of not trusting, of grumbling, of complaining. And Lord, we're asking that you would do a work in our hearts. You would root out that pride. You would root out that which is deep within us, which is not honoring of you. And Lord, you would begin an amazing work that we, the people in this place today, would be ones who would give thanks in every circumstance. And Lord, if there are those who don't know Christ, would you overwhelm them with your love and your mercy that they would see the greatest gift, the gift of life through Christ has been offered to them. And Lord, would they receive it by faith for Jesus' sake. It's in his name we pray. Amen.